Will the House please come to order? Will members please indicate their presence by voting? Has any member failed to indicate their presence by voting? Will the clerk please take the roll?
35 members present.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Cato is excused from the call of the House today.
Will the members please rise for the invocation by lay Rabbi Danny Plotnick of the Juneau Jewish community.
Mr. Speaker, on a cloudy day like today, it's always uplifting to read from the Book of Psalms of David. And the selection this morning is from a portion of one psalm. Let us pray. I lift up mine eyes unto the mountains, and whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, who made both heaven and earth. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The Lord shall keep thee from all evil, and he shall keep thy soul. The Lord shall guard thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and forever. Let us all say, Amen.
Amen.
Representative Vasca.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread on the journal.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the prayer will be spread on the journal.
Speaker, before we take votes, I'm going to move that Representative Malone be excused from the call of the House today. He has not arrived back yet from out of town. And, Mr. Speaker, I'm going to just to notify you that Representative Davis is ill and will therefore automatically be excused from the call.
Thank you, Representative Miller. Is there objection to the motion to excuse Representative Malone? Hearing none, Representative Malone is excused, and the clerk, please note the illness of Representative Davis. Will the clerk please certify the journal for the 86th legislative day?
As chief clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 86th day and House Supplement number 38.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 86th day and House Supplement number 38 be approved as certified by the chief clerk.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Are there guests for introduction? Representative Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery B, I'd like you all to welcome the Luckanuck High School senior class, Counselor Steve McDonough, teacher Susan Henry, students Sivian Augline, Matilda Augustine, Alan Edmond, Ben Edmond, Julia Damian, James Chakalak, Arlene Joseph, Sandra Joseph, Iggy Kamaroff, Ken Kamaroff, and Juanita Phillips.
Representative Bussell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery B, I would like you, along with the rest of the members of the body, to extend a warm welcome to the District 10 Republican Chairman, Marilyn Payne.
Representative Zaroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Today it certainly is a pleasure to be surrounded in the galleries back here by potential future leaders of our state, students from the representative from Nome mentioned some there, and then in Gallery A we have students that are down here participating in a program that is sponsored by the Elks Lodges throughout the state. There are 16 lodges throughout the state, Mr. Speaker, and each one sponsors two students, and today I believe we have about half of those students here. The other half are visiting the other body, and they will make the exchange later on in the week. Representative Cato is not with us, David, and there are some students from her district that I would like to introduce as well. From Valdez, we have Tanya Rasmussen in Gallery A. From Seward, Mr. Speaker, we have Mike Dunn and Karen Anderson. And from Kodiak, Mr. Speaker, we have Jana Larson and Brandon Jones. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Gall. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Also here today, a winner of the Elks competition. Incidentally, that competition is based upon an essay which deals with the major problems of the state of Alaska. With us today from Haines is Miss Laura Smith.
Representative Larson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to introduce an RSVP student that I have working in my office for the next 2 weeks from Squitna, John Bitney. John?
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It gives me a great deal of pleasure to welcome two of the students from the Elk Association that are from Anchorage. It's Susan Perrigo and Scott Hunt. Would you help me welcome them, please?
Representative Grusendorf.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery A, there are two students who are also on the Elks Know Your State Government program. They are Jim Paulson and Tina Sutter.
Are there further guests for introduction? Representative Winty?
I don't have a guest for introduction, but since we seem to be in a quandary in solving some of the state's problems, I'd like to request, if there are officials with the Elks here, that they submit copies of those essays to us so that we could receive their advice.
Thank you. Are there messages from the governor?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
The Senate has approved the following citations and they are returned. Observing National Medical Laboratory Week, honoring Myrtle Stalnaker, honoring Floyd Harris Guthrie, honoring Roberta Bobby Hull, and honoring Teresa May Bentley Johnson. The Senate has passed the following and they are transmitted for consideration. Senate Bill number 182 by Josephson, an act relating to elevator safety standards.
Senate Bill 182 is referred to the Labor and Commerce Committee.
Senate Bill 208 by the Judiciary Committee, an act extending the termination date of the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board and providing for an effective date.
Senate Bill 208 is referred to the Judiciary and Finance Committees.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Other communications?
I received the 1982 annual report and financial statement from the Alaska Municipal Bond Bank. There was a cover letter with this report, and it has been placed in each member's mailbox. I have no further communications, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees.
The Committee on Judiciary has had House Bill 157, expanding the right to petition for a local option election under consideration, and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Bussell, Chairman, concurred in by Hayes, Wente, Barnes, and Bussell. Clarkson has no recommendation. House Bill 157 has no further referral. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Bill 214, relating to a number of Superior Court judges under consideration, recommends it do pass and attaches a letter of intent and two new fiscal notes. The report was signed by Mr. Bussell, Chairman, concurred in by Liska, Hayes, Malone, Clarkson, and Bussell. House Bill 214 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Committee on Finance has had sponsor substitute for House Bill 258, establishing a special investment tax credit under consideration, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 258, Labor and Commerce, with the same title, and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, concurred in by Pestinger, Flood, Ward, Hurlburt, Grusendorf, Lindauer, Martin, Adams, and Bettesworth. Jaroff signed, no recommendation, no timber. Duncan signed, no recommendation. sponsor substitute for House Bill 258, has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had sponsor substitute for House Bill 270 relating to child pornography under consideration, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 270 Hess with the same title, and recommends that it do pass and attaches two new fiscal notes. Report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, concurred in by Pestinger, Flood, Ward, Hurlburt, Jaroff, Duncan, Grusendorf, Lindauer, Adams, Martin, and Bettesworth. Sponsor substitute for House Bill 270 has no further referral. The Committee on State Affairs is at House Bill 284, designating the bowhead whale as the state marine mammal under consideration, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 284, State Affairs, with the same title, and attaches a zero fiscal note, and recommends the bill do pass. No, reports it back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. Abood, Chairman, signing do pass, Vasca, M.M. Miller, and Schultz. Signing no recommendation, Abood, Cowdery, and Furness. House Bill 284 has a further referral to the Resources Committee. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees.
The House Special Committee on Fisheries has had committee substitute for Senate Bill 161, Finance, making an appropriation to the Fishery Industrial Technology Center for Salmon Quality Control Education under consideration, and recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by Ms. Herman, Chairman, concurred in by Gall, Jaroff, Fuller, McBride, Herman, Grusendorf, and Bussell. Committee substitute for Senate Bill 161, Finance, has a further referral to Finance. The House Special Committee on State Loans has had sponsor substitute for House Bill 56 relating to scholarship loans under consideration, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 56 loans with the same title, and recommends it do pass and attaches a new fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Euling, Chairman, concurred in by Euling, Ward, Wente, Furness, and Kopanen. Sponsor substitute for House Bill 56 has a further referral to Finance. I have no further special committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Gall.
Mr. Speaker, could we just return for a moment to the introduction of guests?
Without objection, we'll return to introduction of guests. Representative Gall.
Thank you very much. In Gallery B, we have with us today Mr. Steve Heitz, who many of you have met. He's represented both the White Pass Railroad and its United Transportation Union, and is here in town on this life and safety issue, which we took up yesterday. I'd like to introduce him to the body, please. Mr. Steve Heitz.
Are there further guests for introduction? Introduction, first reading and reference. Introduction of citations and resolutions.
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading and reference of bills.
House Bill 353 by Herman. An act making special appropriations to the Department of Education and for payment as grants for rural school design and construction, and providing for an effective date.
House Bill 353 is referred to the Health, Education, and Social Services and Finance Committees.
House Bill 354 by Kopanen and Fritz, an act relating to physician staff privileges in hospitals.
Health, Education, and Social Services Committee.
House Bill 355 by Kopanen, an act relating to health resources development and providing for an effective date.
House Bill 355 is referred to the Health, Education, and Social Services and Finance Committees.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Brings us to consideration of the daily calendar. Will the clerk please read the first item on today's calendar? Representative Zaroff.
May we have a brief at ease, Mr. Speaker?
Will the House please stand at ease? Please read the first item on today's calendar.
House Bill number 39 by M.M. Miller, Martin, Jaroff, Kopanen, and Fritz. An act relating to services for pregnant women and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Hess has had House Bill 39 under consideration, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 39 Hess with the same title, and recommends it do pass and attaches four fiscal notes. Report was signed by the co-chairman, Tischer and Fritz, signing do pass, Fritz, M.W. Miller, Davis, Kopanen, and Gall. Tischer has no recommendation. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 39 under consideration and recommends it be replaced with a Hess committee substitute. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, signing do pass, Pestinger, Ward, Jaroff, Duncan, Grusendorf, and Martin. Having no recommendation, Flood and Adams, signing do pass with amendments, Lindauer and Bettesworth. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute Hess for House Bill 39 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee substitute for House Bill 39 is adopted in lieu of the original bill. Does the clerk have amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute Hess for House Bill 39 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
Committee substitute for House Bill 39 Hess by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee. An act relating to services for pregnant women and providing for an effective date.
Is there debate? Representative Fritz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. No debate exactly, but I feel strongly about this bill, and I would like your permission to speak for a couple of seconds about it. During the initial phase of a pregnancy, especially in a young girl, say 13 or 14 or 15, the sheer horror of being responsible for another life overcomes the girl, and unless she has the backing of her family, who are also horrified very frequently by the thought, will opt for an abortion. As you and I presume many other members of this House realize, that there's a tremendous demand for babies on the part of those people who are too old or who have other reasons for not being able to have children of their own. And if some means can be taken, as this bill provides, to teach the young mother-to-be about the pleasures of pregnancy and about the fact that the baby does not need to be destroyed but can be produced and a home can be found for it, I feel a lot of unnecessary agony and later feelings of guilt can be dissipated. And for that reason, I hope that the House will pass this bill unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Is there further debate? Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee substitute for House Bill 39 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk, may take the roll.
37 yeas, no nays.
The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee substitute for House Bill 39 has passed the House. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the passage of committee substitute Hess for House Bill 39 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
There is objection. Will the House please stand at ease? Is the objection maintained to the adoption of the effective date clause? Representative Clarkson, do you maintain your objection?
Mr. Speaker, I withdraw my objection.
Is there further objection to the motion that the roll call on the passage of the bill be considered the roll call on the passage of the effective date clause? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
House Bill number 128 by Lindauer, Flood, Grusendorf, Hurlburt, Pestinger, Tischer, and M.W. Miller. An act raising the penalties for promoting child prostitution. The Committee on Hess has had House Bill 128 under consideration and recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by the co-chairmen, Fritz and Tischer, and concurred in by Tischer, M.W. Miller, Davis, Cato, Kopanen, Gall, and Fritz. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Bill 128 under consideration, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 128 Judiciary with a new title, and attaches 3-0 fiscal notes. The report was signed by Mr. Bussell, chairman, concurred in by Liska, Hayes, Wente, Barnes, and Bussell. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute Judiciary for House Bill 128 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the Judiciary Committee substitute for House Bill 128 is adopted in lieu of the original bill. Does the clerk have amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the judiciary substitute for House Bill 128 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none so ordered, will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
Committee substitute for House Bill 128, Judiciary, by the Judiciary Committee. An act raising the penalties for promoting child prostitution and providing for an effective date.
Is there debate? Representative Lindauer?
Mr. Speaker, I urge the body to vote for this bill. Presently, we have a problem in Alaska, which won't go away. Testimony at the hearing on this bill suggested that of the several hundred children in one of our shelters, over 50% of those children had been engaged in child prostitution. Part of our problem is unique to the state of Alaska until this bill passes. That is that we treat those people, those business people, and prostitution is a business, who run children the very same way that we treat them as when they run adults. That is to say that they have no minimum sentence whatsoever, that they can expect perhaps a tap on the hands and go right back out on the street. This bill is an effort to raise the cost of doing business with children above the cost of doing business with adults, to establish a differential penalty so that somebody who is getting into this business will understand that if they mess around with children, they're going to pay a much higher penalty than if they mess around with adults. And I strongly urge this body to do so. It merely raises the penalty from a Class B felony to a Class A felony. Thank you.
Is there further debate? Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall the Judiciary Committee substitute for House Bill 128 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
37 yeas, no nays.
The Judiciary Committee substitute for House Bill 128 has passed the House. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on the passage of Committee Substitute Judiciary for House Bill 128 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
House Bill 274 by Bettesworth and Furness by request. An act relating to the regulation of public utilities and providing for an effective date. We are in third reading, Mr. Speaker.
So debate. Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall House Bill, Representative Lindauer?
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to rise and debate.
You have the floor, Representative Lindauer.
I understand that many members of this body think this is a good bill, but I'd like to point out to you what this bill does. This is a special interest bill to enrich a handful of people. I think it does not go anywhere near doing what everybody thinks it does. We, through this bill, allow the government, the state of Alaska, to establish monopolies, and now we're going to let people use those monopolies to enrich themselves. We would be better off if we retitled this bill a special appropriation, listed the names of the handful of individuals who are going to benefit from it, and let it go. What's going to happen here with this bill is that we're going to see higher prices, a tax, in effect, levied on the consumers of Alaska to enrich a handful of people. Taxes ought to be collected by the state of Alaska to benefit all people. They shouldn't be collected to benefit a handful of people. In this particular case, the primary beneficiary will no doubt use this additional revenue that they're going to get to finance the move of their operation out of the state of Alaska, having promised us only a few months ago that when they bought the business, they would keep it and their headquarters in Alaska. They now have announced that they're going to move out, and now I assume that we're putting up the money to help them move out. And I think this is a terrible bill. We should, in fact, defeat this. We should follow the lead of the federal government, and we should deregulate this industry. One of the members very properly handed out a book, Free to Choose, by Milton Friedman. Milton Friedman, if he was here, would vote against this bill. People of the state of Alaska should be free to choose. We should not be establishing monopolies, and even worse, when we do establish them, we shouldn't vote to let a handful of individuals profit from it, which is what we're doing with this bill.
Is there further debate? Are you ready for the Representative Furness.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Speaker, I hesitate to get up and delay the process. It's evident that Representative Lindahl has a concern with this particular piece of legislation. The fact is the legislation deals with a segment of our community that's going to be here, that is cable television. He's speaking of total deregulation, and I'm sure that there's been ample argument against the total deregulation. Currently, the Alaska Public Office Commission has certain responsibilities in reviewing these applications and making certain determination. We take total deregulation off of this particular industry. We, in turn, invite the federal government to come in and take control. In my opinion, Mr. Speaker, that is not the intent. We should not have the federal government telling us what we should do in this particular instance. Now, I'm sure the representative to my right here has got concerns. I would suggest he sell those with the people that he has those concerns and not confuse the issue of this particular bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker. Representative Lindahl?
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to respond to that. The representative has misstated the position of the federal government. As you know, Mr. Speaker, from our previous debate, I personally called a leading FCC attorney and was told in no uncertain terms there are no federal regulations. The federal government will not take this back. The federal government decided this industry should be competitive and has totally deregulated it, has totally stepped out of the regulation of this industry so that we could have competition. It is the state of Alaska that is attempting to prevent free enterprise and competition, and worse, is deregulating the ability of the state to control those who we give these monopolies to. We shouldn't give them to them in the first place. If we do give them, we shouldn't let them be exploited. This bill is the worst of both cases.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I had hoped I brought my file on this bill with me. I did not. So I'm going to try from memory to discuss my research on the bill. As I recall, what we have done with this piece of legislation is deregulate every part of the industry that relates to cable television other than the certificate of need. So those persons that presently have a certificate of need will in fact have a monopoly within the state unless they can get 25% of the subscribers to say there is another need for a service. And I would think that most difficult, but I don't want anyone to be misled into believing that this bill is a deregulation bill. It deregulates. What the deregulation does is allow that all restrictions be removed from the companies, but that it in fact does make the people that hold the certificate of needs an absolute monopoly.
Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to concur in the person that just spoke and the other representative from Anchorage that it's a shame that the gentleman from Anchorage did not participate in our debate last week, and I think it would have been made quite clear to him that in no way, shape, or form is the federal government, after getting out of the business last year, going to get back in it this year. They wholeheartedly encourage all states to allow cable TV to be as free as possible. It says the states may provide regulations. Well, we choose in this bill to deregulate it completely, and the final answer is allow the free market to play as it will. And I'm very concerned that those who have a piece of paper have a solid monopoly. And it's only the central part of Anchorage that people that are really suffering, because we have one organization that's had this piece of paper for over 4 years with promises upon promises. The major reason the people from APUC told me they gave the one organization a piece of paper is because they can most efficiently and quickly serve the public. With that, we have seen long gone. After 4 years, they promised it in 2 years. And I think that maybe by complete free enterprise, the people may see a lot more service in the Anchorage area tomorrow, as beautiful Juneau has. We have a great selection because freedom exists in Juneau. It does not exist in Anchorage.
Representative Hurlburt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May we revert momentarily to the introduction of guests?
Without objection, we'll revert to introduction of guests. Representative Hurlburt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have one of my best constituents in the audience today, in Gallery B, my youngest son, Christopher. also my wife is hiding back in there, too.
Are there further guests for introduction? Representative Bettesworth, under debate.
Under debate, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, as you recall, about 3 years ago, House Labor and Commerce Committee heard all of the debate on this issue on this floor, and it was determined at that time that in order for any person or persons or companies to present to the public a viable cable television system, they would have to have what some people on this floor choose to call a monopoly. What is deregulated here is the charges that that organization may charge. This bill merely extends a situation that has been in being for 3 years and gives that organization an opportunity to complete the effort that they have been through for the last 3 years to get this program going. It does not completely deregulate. We're worried about a monopoly. Chugach Electric is certainly a monopoly. The Anchorage Telephone System is certainly a monopoly, and I don't think any of you would advocate parallel electric lines running down your street or parallel telephone lines running down your street because you know it would double or triple the cost of that service. This is a service that can only be provided under a viable economic situation, and the only way that viable economic situation can exist is if through public regulation through the APUC, a certificate of need is issued, and that person has the means and the wherewithal to go to the financial institutions, get the money to provide that system, and go ahead and provide that service to the public. As a result of this legislation, I would submit that the community of Anchorage in particular is going to have the finest cable television system provided to the public anywhere in the world. And if this bill is defeated, it's my information that that won't happen.
Representative Lindar?
Mr. Speaker, I agree with the representative from Fairbanks in one sense, and that is that if you give a franchise a certificate of convenience and necessity to a power plant or a telephone company or any other utility, they certainly do have a monopoly, and it certainly does prevent two sets of telephone lines and so forth. But I would point out to the body a very important difference between what he has used as his examples and what we're doing here. We don't let Chugach run wild and charge any price that it wants, because if we did, they could conceivably charge very high prices. We don't let the telephone company, we don't remove the restrictions on the prices, because if they had an absolute monopoly, they could double or triple the rates, and we'd have to pay it because we wouldn't have any alternative. If we pass this bill, I think two things are going to happen. One, our constituents are going to have to pay much higher costs for television services, for cable services, because what we're doing is removing the ability to control that. They'll get to raise their prices with no concern about competition ever coming in. It'll be take it or leave it. Secondly, in my opinion, if we do this, there'll be no competitive threat to get these guys producing more service. And in fact, what we'll see is large amounts of the Eagle River, the Chugach, Valley area and downtown Anchorage are going to be without cable television for more additional years. This is a vote for higher prices. This is a vote for no service. And it's a vote to deregulate that portion of the industry which allows the owner of the industry to stick it to the public. And if anybody is going to take money from the public, we should take it in taxes and use it for a good purpose. We shouldn't use it to finance a move outside.
Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, in reference to a couple of statements by the gentleman from Fairbanks as to what utilities should be protected and what should not be, in the Goldwater Subcommittee for the last 3 years of the U.S. Senate, it became very clear that, yes, the nations and states and even municipal governments must protect the very basic needs of water, sewage, and electricity for its people. And therefore, a quasi-monopoly has always been allowed within our government over the years. I think that first was done in 1923. When cable communication first began, because no one knew of the significance of it, it was put under the federal communication system, and it was regulated, and it was anticipated that maybe this is a public need that needs to be protected, that certain individuals with the permits need to be protected in certain communities so that they can give maximum services to the people. In the hearings of over 3 years, it has been proven, no, this is not, that what we are doing is really hampering free enterprise as to the choices of what the people will or will not have, or what they can even buy. So therefore, they dropped the regulations as being unnecessary and not in the best interest of the public. And they also dropped the permit process, too, on state levels and on municipal level. They certainly ruled out that municipal governments, city governments, may not have the power of administrating permits to cable TV. They did leave it up, a maybe, to the state, depending on what problems they see within their own jurisdiction, which is part of state rights. As far as the finest in the world, well, perhaps we can delay and delay on other things until we get the finest in the world. A few years ago, we were never heard of a plastic heart being inserted in somebody being allowed to use it. Maybe people with narrow minds would say, well, that will never be. We should never sanction anyone getting into the human body. Therefore, we must accept what is right. And if a person dies, they die without interventions of new equipment, new ideas, new concepts. The same way here. If the one person, and it really boils down to Anchorage, no other area in this state has the problem of receiving service but Anchorage. And it's because that one person has to permit one company. And still, even though they promise us, wait for the finest service in the world, I don't know what day that's going to come. In the meantime, I know of two or three other organizations that applied for permits. Say, we aren't going to give you the finest. But we can give you ESPN, we can give you CNN, we can give you three or four channels in almost an instant move. So I'm tired of waiting for the final. I don't want to give a monopoly or continue it.
Representative Liska.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's inconceivable to me to understand how a cable company can be on exempt status and still not perform the same duties he should be if he wasn't on a non-exempt status. Now, we and my constituents in the Chugiak-Ig River area, which is a part of Anchorage, have been waiting for over 2 years to get cable television. Now, if I recall, when we debated this before last week, there was an amendment on the floor requiring 120 days to get these people to move out on these particular projects. Now, if we have to wait 2 years to get somebody to move, and if we put a deadline on them, for example, which the amendment failed, for 120 days, I just can't see giving somebody a monopoly that can't do what they're supposed to do in the first place. So I'm definitely against giving anybody exempt status from regulation, because they can't do their job they're supposed to do in the first place. They're required to do to support the public. It's about time somebody tell them how to do it. Thank you, sir.
Representative Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It appears that in this discussion, we're somewhat putting the cart before the horse. What we have here is a leisure activity. We have a leisure activity that depends upon some prudence. And that prudence says here that if you set the price too high, people are not going to buy it. Now, the question, the comments this morning is that people will set those prices so that they're going to rob the public. Well, the public still has the ability of making a decision. Can I afford this $30 a month or this $60 a month? Is this service worth it to me to go out and spend my dollars for it? We're talking about the use of net disposable income in order to support this. Now, we talk about monopolies. I think it's a fairly well economic principle that there are certain entities within our society that needs an ability to grow and in order to be able to accumulate the kinds of economies that's going to make it profitable. And we know of certain public utilities. The representative from Fairbanks spoke of the Chugach Electric. Well, there is a monopoly there. We permitted that monopoly to grow to an extent that it has been able to service a community within reason.
We have not permitted the Anchorage utility, for example, to parallel that because it's not economically feasible. But this is a little bit different because in those instances, Mr. Speaker, we're talking about a service that is provided by an entity that is needed, that is a necessity. In this instance, we're talking about, again, a leisure activity that the consumer can make a discernible decision whether they want it or they don't want it. Now, in this legislation, we're also acknowledged here that if they don't do it right, there's a remedy. 25% of that constituent say, hey, you're screwing it up, we don't want your services. They go back to the APUC and so appraise them of that fact. A hearing is held, and hopefully some determination is made. We're approaching this as this is a life or death situation that everyone in Anchorage must have cable TV. Well, personally, I may not want it, but I do protect the right of this legislation that we should get on with this legislation to not confuse apples and oranges. It's not a life or death situation. It's an economic matter here that rightly comes before this body, Mr. Speaker, and I think we should look at it that way, not confuse it.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Indeed, my colleague from District 14 is quite correct. It is a leisure situation, and what we're doing with this legislation, and indeed he's right, it is an economic situation, that we are giving one company the benefits of an economic situation to perpetuate their own business. Because it would hardly seem likely that another company could come in and request a certificate of need and compete with a company that's totally deregulated with the exception of the certificate of need. Now, I'd like to support this bill, Mr. Speaker. The concept is good. What I suggest that we do is that we totally deregulate the certificate of need. If we deregulate the certificate of need, if you, Mr. Speaker, or other of your business friends would like to start a cable television company, that they can go in and simply start one. You won't have to worry about somebody giving you a certificate of need. And I think that we should do that, and that we should have a marketplace where the consumer is allowed to choose based on his free will and his leisure time and the dollars in his pocket, Mr. Speaker. Thank you.
Representative Gall.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm forced to oppose this bill on the same grounds that have been stated by several previous speakers. It seems to me that we had an amendment proposed yesterday which would have resolved the problem of the monopoly situation, but as it stands, we have a situation clearly where a monopoly will exist for those persons now providing the service. Protections are given through regulation as to who may or may not enter in open competition with these individuals. And then restrictions are lifted as to how much that person with a monopoly may charge. So it seems clearly we have a problem. The history of regulation of broadcast media dates back some years, as you know, and relates primarily to the concept that while the press need be unregulated, since anybody can print up a document and distribute it, the electronic broadcast media are not in that enviable situation. In fact, there are a limited number of frequencies, and consequently, we have a history of regulation of the utilization of those frequencies. But in the case of normal broadcast media, the revenues are raised through advertising, and if a person is not able to raise those revenues, he simply goes out of business, whereas in this situation, the revenues are raised through bills to the consumer. And it seems to me quite inappropriate to restrict the competition in that sort of an area, since if this bill passes, in my opinion, we would have a situation where the person retaining the license to operate would be in a position to raise his rates very high. And although television is considered by many to be a leisure time activity, it is, for better or worse, considered essential by many families in the state, and they will undoubtedly suffer the results of this legislation should it pass. I urge its defeat. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Furness.
Can we stand at ease, Mr. Speaker?
The House, please stand at ease. We have House Bill 274 before us in third reading. During the at ease, there was an amendment placed on the clerk's desk. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that we return to second reading for the purposes of a specific amendment.
Will the clerk please read the amendment?
Amendment number 3 by Barnes. Page 1, line 11. Place a period after 42.5.7.21. Strike the remainder of the material. Line 16.
Representative Barnes, there was objection to your motion to return to second reading. Would you like the floor up to debate?
Certainly, Mr. Speaker, I'd be delighted to. I have, I believe, a history of supporting the free enterprise system in our country, and this amendment, Mr. Speaker, is a free enterprise amendment. The amendment deregulates the certificate of need, as the rest of the bill deregulates the whole industry other than the certificate of need. Mr. Speaker, those persons presently owning those certificates of need or certificates of public convenience have a monopoly. I believe that this industry should be deregulated, that it should be totally deregulated, and that the people of our state should have an opportunity to be free to choose. My amendment is a freedom of choice amendment, Mr. Speaker. Thank you.
Representative Bettesworth.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would oppose the amendment, and I'm sure that there must still be some confusion as to what the position of the Alaska Public Utilities Commission is in this situation. The argument has been made that this is a monopoly. All right, it's a monopoly in the same manner that Chugachi Electric is a monopoly. The Alaska Public Utility Commission, on receipt of an application for a cable TV license, could issue that license. The argument is that they would not, and that's up to the Public Utility Commission whether they would or would not. The way I read the state statutes, under their charge to protect the public, they probably would not. But it does not mean that they could not. So deregulation would merely remove the APUC and give, yes, anybody else an opportunity to come into a cable TV system. But let me tell you exactly what happened in Fairbanks several years ago. I don't think it was the first, but it was nearly the first community of any size who got into the cable TV business. And the APUC was in charge of the situation, and they looked to the city community, the council, for guidance. There were two strong companies, with both of which had good legal counsel. They both proved that they were fit, willing, and able. They both proved that they had the expertise. They both proved that they could get the financing to put in a cable system. And this battle went on for almost a year. The result was that the APUC says, well, they're both equal. They're both qualified, so we'll issue both of them a permit. It wasn't a week, but what those two companies merged into one company, knowing full well that it would not be a viable operation for the either one or the other company in a competitive situation in Fairbanks for cable TV. They merged, they got one certificate, they put in a good system, and we've been enjoying that system ever since. Had that duplication of certificate of need been issued, it's my strong belief Fairbanks wouldn't have a cable system to this day.
Representative Miller.
I wonder if I might ask, rather unusual request of the chair, that you have a special straw vote of the majority coalition on this matter. It seems to be hopelessly split, and those of us in the minority are torn between where we should go with the two factions.
Representative Locker. The House, please stand at ease. Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to go back to the comments from my learned colleague, the gentleman from Fairbanks. The gentleman from Fairbanks would have us believe that the APUC would continue some form of regulation of this industry.
if this bill passes, and that is flat not true. And they do, in fact, regulate other industries that are such as Chugach Electric, and it's been raised several times, rate increases, the extension of the company, all of those things are regulated under the APUC. This bill not only deregulates all phases of the APUC other than the certificate of need, but it also says the municipalities have no right to regulate under this bill. I'd like to point out one thing that's not been brought up here today, Mr. Speaker. The public airways of our state and our nation are indeed public. They belong to all the people. And the people of the state of Alaska should have a right, as I said, to choose. Under the bill as it is proposed, they won't have that right. I'd like to give them an opportunity to choose if another company comes in and wishes to start a cable television company. Under this bill, Mr. Speaker, as it is presently written, they could not. Under my amendment, they can.
Representative Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My colleague from Anchorage and I very seldom disagree on matters of importance. But, Mr. Speaker, my colleague would lead one to believe that, first of all, a monopoly is a bad thing. Mr. Speaker, I don't see it that way. We've already acknowledged that we have monopolies in public utilities. We've acknowledged that Chugach Electric is not a bad guy because they have a monopoly. Mr. Speaker, history is filled with the need to set up certain kinds of monopolies because of the high cost of getting into these various kinds of entities. Public broadcasting, cable TV just happened to be one of those. When we talk about the absence of regulation, well, we set up regulatory agencies to do what we can't do for ourselves. In case of public utilities, in case of gas or water or electricity, I agree, you know, those are necessary items. But we're talking about a leisure activity right now, Mr. Speaker. And some people say, well, gee whiz, this is a leisure activity and we need somebody to protect us. Well, I certainly disagree with that. I certainly disagree because the best regulator in this particular instance is the public themselves through the expenditure of that dollar out of their pocket. APUC or anyone else cannot protect that. We are the best regulators. But I don't want this body to be misled that the monopoly situation here is a boogeyman lurking there to crush us all. And that if you support this bill, that doomsday is going to hit upon us. My opinion is not that serious. Now, to take this back to second reading will simply prolong this agony. I think this body has heard enough testimony. I think this body is ready to get on with some substantive legislation and not waste our time with this any longer. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I hope not to waste the public's time, and I have been in agony. I've been in agony for almost 4 years, especially when I come down here. At times when I want to relax, I turn on ESPN and find some great sports shows. People back in Anchorage don't know what I'm talking about. Sports all day. Gee, how lucky, how modern. I went to Kotzebue about 2 years ago on an education hearing. I was absolutely amazed. Therefore, on the street, I went for a walk and looked in a person's house. I didn't mean to be a peeping Tom, but they had a big, they had a big screen. A great football game on. I thought, that's tremendous. I went to Little Bethel. They had good sports activities down there. They have freedom of choice down there. I come to Anchorage and I can't get it. I am in agony, and I hope we can get it over with little competition. People mention APUC. Therein lays the problem, APUC. They could have given Anchorage more freedom 3 or 4 years ago when they had a choice of three companies to give a permit to, allow all three of them. Maybe they would have joined together. Maybe they would have given us two competition. Right now, we have nothing. Chugach and Matt and Municipality Electric. Competition going there. Both of them have permits. Sure, there's some double lines on the same street, but there's real competition to serve the people at a reasonable price.
APUC again, a real basic need. This one here, as the gentleman said, is leisure. If it's leisure, I should go where I want to buy what I want, but I can't. He says, we have a choice. You don't have a choice. It's either pay the price or not have anything. APUC, let's throw how they can monopolize. In the municipality of Mat-Su, a very big fight's been going on for about 3 years. It has to do with refuge. One man has two permits, two pieces of paper. The one individual says, well, instead of serving the residencies, they're picking up garbage. Instead of serving them, I make more money in serving the commercial establishments within the Palmer area. There have been three or four people, and I know the Mat-Su Borough Assembly passed and asked the APUC, look, we got garbage on the streets, we got roaming dogs, we got a lot of trash problems. Let someone else have another piece of permit. And they say, no, this man has it. He has the right to serve you or not to serve you. He chooses not to serve because he don't want to, you know, get into that business. What he used to be in, that used to be his money. Real money's in commercial. So there lies the problem. How many monopolies are you going to allow? In some cases, a gentleman in Fairbanks says they gave it to two different companies that were willing to serve the people. Because of the competition with both of them, they got what they need in Fairbanks. They do have this leisure time activity. In Anchorage, we don't. I really think that it's a good amendment. It would allow freedom, and the people in Anchorage, maybe by next year, might be able to see sports all day.
Representative Winty?
I'd hate to prolong my Labor and Commerce Chairman's debate any further, but I would point out that in the testimony before our committee, the clear indication given by the industry through their representative was they do not want to be controlled in terms of whatever they are charged. They do not want to report to a public body in that area. Other portions of the statutes that they don't want to be regulated by include standards of service. They don't want to have to respond to specific standards of service. They do not want to respond to discrimination in service. Those they're asking to be repealed, as well as others dealing with joint use and interconnection of facilities and others. But, of course, what they do want to be regulated, it would appear that they want to be regulated in terms of the monopoly that they provide. I would remind the chairman, however, that the question was asked when this very amendment was proposed in committee, it was addressed to the industry representative, the trade association representative, and he did not have a position on that. I don't know if that's been conveyed to the chairman since that time, and since the bill has been moved out of committee. They did not support the majority leader's amendment in terms of full deregulation, but they did not oppose it either. I assume that's primarily because he did not have a chance to communicate with his employers on that matter, but essentially the coming out of committee, the record was that there was no position from the industry on the amendment that's before us. I would bring to the attention, however, the members of this body yesterday dealing with a railroad issue, we heard in dealing with public safety, we heard all these great statements about management and deregulation, and the state shouldn't regulate that when we're talking about public safety. These same people are on the floor today when we're talking about regulation, talking the exact opposite when certainly public safety is not involved. Certainly the costs of the public are involved. Maybe that sways their opinions. But I guess I've stated on this floor before, I would hope, at least what I try to do is talk consistently, and I would hope that those that talk selective deregulation on sometimes and full deregulation others would develop a little more consistency also.
Representative Abood?
Mr. Speaker, it never dawned on me, but this bill has done a great thing for us all here. My heart is filled with joy because the loyal opposition is confused, and it's the first time I've ever seen it happen.
Representative Lindauer?
I would like to attempt to eliminate their confusion by explaining the situation to them as I see it. In the state of Alaska, as in all states, where there is some form of a natural public utility, we have a public utility commissioner's equivalent. They do two things. They choose the most qualified applicant, and then they regulate that applicant so the applicant cannot take undue advantage of the monopoly they've been given. They prevent that applicant from charging excessive prices, providing inferior service, and so forth. They go together. You grant the franchise, and then you regulate them to make sure that franchise isn't abused. What this bill proposes, and why we should accept this amendment, is to go ahead and grant the franchise, but then let them go right ahead and abuse it, because or be free to abuse it. And I would predict the following is going to happen in Fairbanks if this bill passes. The first thing that's going to happen in Fairbanks in the next few weeks is price of cable television is going to jump dramatically because it will no longer be limited to a fair rate of return on the capital investment. If this bill passes, this is a vote to increase the cable television rates in Fairbanks. It is a vote to increase the cable television rates in Juneau and in Cordova and in Kodiak and every place where there is a cable television system. This is a vote to increase the rates, and if you don't like it, that's just tough because they are still keeping the monopoly thing. What that is doing, in effect, is making every family in the state pay $20 or $30 a month more for their cable television. That's a very valuable thing. It will certainly enrich a handful of individuals, but it is not in the public interest, and we should pursue the majority leader's very excellent amendment, which is to deregulate this. If we cannot get that amendment through, then we should vote this down because we should not enrich a handful of individuals by allowing that regulation to be removed. Thank you.
Representative Abood.
Speaker, in that particular case, let the public then decide whether they want it or not. Let the public say this is too much money and therefore run them out of business. Let the private enterprise, being the public, make the decision whether they want those high increase in cable television or not. That tends to hold the line on cost more than any regulations could possibly do.
Question on motion. Representative Locker.
I would just like to say
thank you, Mr. Speaker. That's exactly what we're trying to do with this amendment. Please vote yes.
Representative Winty.
Could I have a brief at ease?
House, please stand at ease. Representative Herman?
Yeah, through the speaker, I have a question on the, I guess it pertains to the motion. It's the 25% of the subscribers petition the Commission for Regulation. Does that mean then 25% of the company or 25% of the people in the area that it's serving?
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Of course, my motion would, if we return to second reading, my amendment would delete that. But what that amendment or that particular section of the bill says is that if 25% of the subscribers, that's 25% of the people in the given area of the state that has cable television, if you'd have to get 25% of them to trot down to APUC to say we want regulation.
Is there further debate? Representative Winty.
Mr. Speaker, I would speak in favor of the amendment and would urge that we pass the motion to return to second reading, although I might have some additional comments at that time when adoption of the amendment is considered.
Are you ready for the question? Takes 21 votes to return to second reading. Question is, shall House Bill 274 be returned from third to second reading for the purpose of a specific amendment, amendment number 3. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk, may take the roll.
17 yeas, 21 nays.
The motion to return to second reading has failed. Is there further debate on the bill? Are you ready for the question? Representative Lindar.
If without the amendment, then we should vote down the bill because that becomes special interest legislation. And the effect of voting yes on this bill is to vote to increase your cable rates for every one of your constituents' families. They have better things to do with their money, like buy food and other things.
Representative Furnish.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, in the political process, there's a lot of give and take, and there's resolution to difficult questions. I take the comments by the previous speaker to simply be a case of sour grapes, and really, we've used everything on this floor from talking about garbage, from one representative from Anchorage, to being confused by the gentleman from Ketchikan. It simply doesn't make sense. Let's vote for this legislation and put this thing to bed. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. One of certainly the most colorful colleagues that I have in this body.
I take exception to that.
The other four, Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Certainly, I'm in language. He would have us believe that this is a good bill. Mr. Speaker, I don't think the way this bill is written that it is, in fact, a good bill. I think that we are not, in fact, giving the public a right to choose. And I think that when we allow a bill such as this to be put forth and we pass it, establishing monopolies that the public then has little or no chance of overcoming, since in fact it would take 25% of the subscribers in any given area to go back and approach the APUC for regulation. Let's talk about the community of Anchorage, for example, where we have better than 200,000 people living. If, Mr. Speaker, there were 100,000 of those that had cable TV, I think you can readily see how many of those persons you would have to get to go down to APUC to say that we are, in fact, working an injustice on our community. I suspect that this bill is going to pass. I would like to have seen it be a true deregulation bill, a bill that I feel that would indeed serve the public. As it is now, I can't vote for it.
Question on the bill.
Representative Kopanen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We have passed a number of items of legislation unanimously or nearly unanimously in matters that concern everyone in the state and which have been thoroughly chewed over in committee. And at such times, I have been happy to cast my vote with the majority leader. In this instance, there is not apparently such unanimity of interest, but nevertheless, I am happy to cast my vote with the majority leader. Thank you.
Representative Gall.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I share the previous speaker's pleasure in being able to vote with the majority on this bill. I think it's very simple that we have half of the necessary legislation before us, the half that lifts the financial regulations, and clearly it is unfortunate, in my view, that the amendment, which would have provided the other half of this legislation, did not pass. But consequently, I think if we were to pass this bill, we would be placing the people of the state at a disservice and providing special privilege benefits to those already engaged in broadcasting along the cable, and I urge the defeat of this bill.
Representative Szymanski.
Well, we've heard a lot of debate today on this one. And it's been colorful. I look forward to supporting the bill, and I would hope others would. I'm not too sure it's the majority or minority I'm joining on the issue, but I believe it's going to pass. I believe that in passage it's going to support the expansion of cable into South Anchorage, which currently does not have it.
and I urge that all people who currently don't have it cut us a break and allow some people in South Anchorage a little privilege of cable television. Thank you.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall House Bill 274 pass the House? Members may, Representative Vasca?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Generally, when the man upstairs introduces a bill into the legislature or requests that a bill be introduced, he asks, and the bill is titled by the Rules Committee by request of the governor. This particular piece of legislation has the two co-sponsors by request. Through the chair, I would like to ask the sponsor who the request is made by.
Question. Ready for the question? Question is, shall House Bill 274 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk, may take the roll.
24 yeas, 14 nays.
House Bill 274 has passed the House. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the effective date clause.
The effective date clause has been moved. Are you ready for the question? Representative Clarkson?
We have a brief and easy.
The House, please stand at ease. Representative Furness?
Mr. Speaker, could we return to introduction of guests briefly, please?
Without objection, we'll return to introduction of guests. Representative Furness?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery A, I'd like to introduce to this body a good friend of mine and his son, Mr. Bill Sykes, and his son, Roger. This is the first time Roger's been here, and I'm sure he's enjoying this.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Under introduction of guests.
Yes, Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery A is a longtime friend of mine from the Anchorage area. He's in the insurance industry, or was the last time I heard. Help me welcome Jay Hoberman.
Are there further guests for introduction? Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall the effective date clause for House Bill 274 be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk, may take the roll.
31 yeas, 7 nays.
The effective date clause has been adopted. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Citation honoring Judy Robertson by Senators Bennett and Fahrenkamp.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the citation honoring Judy Robertson and ask unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the citation is approved. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Citation honoring Joe Usabelli by Senators Bennett, Fahrenkamp, Moss, Vic Fisher, Fakes, Curtula, Mulcahy, Ray, Sackett, and Gilman, and Representative Schultz and Hayes.
Representative Schultz, would you care to move the citation?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the citation and ask unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the citation is approved. Representative Bettesworth?
Mr. Speaker, is it too late to request that all members of the House be shown as sponsors of that citation?
No, it isn't. Would you like to...
I would so move and ask unanimous consent.
Is there objection that all other members of the House be shown as sponsors? Hearing none, so ordered. This brings us to the end of today's calendar and unfinished business. Is there unfinished business to come before the body? Representative Ringstad.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Resources Committee would like to waive HB 284, which is a bill nominating the bowhead whale as a state marine mammal. I request unanimous consent that be approved.
What's the next committee of referral, Representative Ringstad?
Rules.
Rules. Have you held a hearing on it?
Pardon me?
Have you held a hearing on the bill?
No, we're waiving it out, waiving the referral. It was referred to us this morning. We were going to waive the referral. State Affairs.
It has had a hearing in the standing committee. That's what I was trying to get to. Okay, thank you. Is there objection to the motion by the Resource Committee to waive referral for House Bill 284? Hearing none, so ordered. Other unfinished business, Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Bettesworth be excused from the call of the House, April the 22nd through April the 24th.
Is there objection? Hearing none, Representative Bettesworth is excused on the dates requested. Other unfinished business. Representative Abood.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yesterday you asked me to give a report regarding the Athletic Commission. I report verbally this morning, and I will follow this up with a memo to the Speaker, that on July 30th, 1980, from a memo from Governor Hammond at that time to the Commissioner Weber, the Commissioner of Department of Commerce and Economic Development, and I quote, the Division of Occupation and Licensing is the most appropriate location for the Athletic Commission, although official transfer cannot be made without legislative approval. I am requesting that the Occupational Licensing assume the staff responsibility to assist the Commission in evaluating and revising their programs and in performing their licensing and regulatory responsibilities. I go one more sentence. Official transfer will be made during the first session of the 12th State Legislature by executive order or if statute revisions prepared by legislation. Mr. Speaker, neither one of those have been complied with, and therefore it's the opinion of those of which I asked the information from that this particular action being conducted now on the Athletic Commission is illegal. So I guess that would be the total of my findings. I do have others here that I don't believe it is relevant, but I won't take the time of the body to discuss it with you.
Representative Furness?
Mr. Speaker, just a short comment. The House Labor and Commerce currently has under consideration a piece of legislation. I don't have the number, but it's commonly known as a boxing bill. And I would propose that we, in turn, take that consideration up within that legislation to officially make the transfer from the governor's office, if it is the will of this body, to the Department of Commerce under the Division of Occupational Licensing. So it is being considered.
Thank you. Representative Abood.
Mr. Speaker, I'll also give a finding of the, give a report of the findings to the chairman of the Commerce.
Thank you, Representative Abood. Representative Gall.
There we go. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to request that reconsideration or my reconsideration on House Bill 154 be taken up on Monday.
The motion by Representative Gall is that the reconsideration for House Bill 154 be held over so that it can be brought up on Monday. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Thank you.
Representative Tischer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I give notice of reconsideration on my vote for committee substitute for House Bill 39 Hess for tomorrow.
Notice of reconsideration has been given on House Bill 39. Further unfinished business to come before the body. Announcements. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Alaska Railroad Transfer Advisory Commission will meet in the Senate Finance Committee room tomorrow, Thursday, at 1:30 p.m.
The agenda includes discussion of the draft interim report of the Commission's recommendation to the state should it choose to accept the Alaska Railroad from the federal government. All legislators are invited to attend.
Representative Furniss.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The House Labor and Commerce Committee will continue hearings on House Bill 14, processing of permits, and House Bill 197, reference to a hazardous and toxic substance, tomorrow morning. We did hold hearings this morning. We'll continue those tomorrow morning on Barracks Building, Room 210, at 8:45.
Representative Ringstad.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Resources Committee this afternoon will also be, again, addressing House Bill 184 dealing with agriculture, preservation of agriculture rights.
Representative Adams.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This afternoon, the House Finance will close out the Community and Regional Affairs budget and the Department of Environmental Conservation. We will not hear courts until tomorrow. Tomorrow, we'll take up Department of Law and Courts. I will not hear the University of Alaska budget close out. I'll hold that over till next week. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, the Joint Special House and Senate Legislative Reform Committee will be meeting tomorrow, Thursday, at 5 p.m. in the Belch Room. Yesterday, or actually last night, we have completed the draft for the conflict of interest legislation. That will be introduced on Friday. For tomorrow's committee work, we'll be wrapping up the Code of Ethics legislation and hopefully recommended language for the uniform rules.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, there'll be a brief Democratic caucus upon adjournment.
Representative Bussell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Committee on Judiciary will be hearing HB 91, an act relating to disclosure of vital records and information and providing for an effective date in addition to the other items on today's calendar. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further announcements. Representative Ward.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Tonight at 9 p.m. in the House Finance Committee room, there will be a teleconference with the Knick Arm Booster Club, and all members are invited.
Further announcements. Special orders. Representative Martin.
Yes. Mr. Speaker, may I have the floor for a moment to speak about being proud?
You have the floor, Representative Martin.
Thank you very much, sir. Today's action by the House in passing House Bill 39 and House Bill 128 by the House of Representatives certainly makes me feel proud and certainly is a great day for the children of Alaska, both future and present. Also, Mr. Speaker, I'm very proud of the people of Chicago. For the first time after 200 years, voted for a black mayor, Mr. Harold Washington. And this makes me very proud being an American.
Further special orders. Representative Vasca.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I have the privilege of the floor to speak on the cancer benefit on Sunday?
You have the floor, Representative Vasca.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've seen the preliminary roster from the administration, and they have a couple of ringers, so I suggest all members who plan to participate in this basketball activity get in shape before Sunday. Thank you.
Further special orders. Representative Winty.
Mr. Speaker, I'd request the floor under special orders to address briefly appreciation.
You have the floor, Representative Winty.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would certainly express my appreciation to the earlier speaker, and I'm glad that he feels proud that a Democratic candidate has acceded to one of the chief municipal positions in this country, and I think it's a true expression of the spirit of nonpartisan cooperation exists in this body, and I'm glad that he's proud that the Democrat did win that race.
Further special orders. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the House stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. Thursday, April the 14th, 1983.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the House stands adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.